Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens. Tonight, folks, we're going to be talking about the weird. I call it the weird and the wonderful, because this is a weird world. And for some, speaking of weird, it's kind of weird when everybody basically knows, if you're old enough and have access to, especially to TV or the internet or any news source, just have lived life at all, inexplicable things have happened. That's why we even do the show, The Unknown Zone, because most people just don't talk about this stuff, even though people even have seen, heard, felt, whatever, witnessed, know somebody that has, things that are impossible, supposedly. They happen all the time, but we're still stuck in a world where the media, if you will, the collective, whoever is in control and put stuff out on TV, movies, whatever, they act like, oh, that's not real, that doesn't exist. Or, you know, they're still, we'll be talking about aliens and UFOs tonight as well. It's not even a question if they're real or they exist, as, you know, shown in TV shows or some claims may or may not be real. But out of this whole universe, there's intelligent life everywhere. And not to mention the fact that it's a multidimensional universe anyway, that we are also a hologram, to make it even weirder, that we're on, you know, a planet that doesn't really even make any sense. We have a moon that doesn't make any sense, but we just take for granted we got this moon here. And we have these eclipses just because where the moon is in its orbit is the apparent size exactly of the sun in its orbit around it, that we go around. Think about that. No other planet has that. And the satellite is too big to be explained by Newtonian physics, not to mention the fact that it's hollow, as been proved by the University of Stanford. Nobody talks about it. It's a hollow planetoid. Who made it? It's not even natural.
Remember?
Yeah. Yeah, we've done it. We've done the show. We've researched this stuff. This is not made up stuff of some kid in his basement thinking up ideas. These are actual physicists, astrophysicists, and the like, astronomers. This isn't fake. This is real. But we just keep going on like, we'll keep going on. Just ignore that man in the corner, right? I'm not going to ignore the man in the corner. That's why we do the show. It's unbelievable. We have this whacked world, but most of the time it just falls into the, you know, yeah, I guess the sun will come up in the east and set in the west, and we're in summer in the northern hemisphere right now, and eventually it'll be fall and then winter. All that does happen, but it happened on the Truman Show too, so that was fake. I mean,
well,
honestly.
I mean, if the Earth switches, you know, its poles, the sun would be coming up in the west and setting in the east.
Absolutely, correct.
Because it's going to be opposite. And it is changing. It's moving right along. It's not where it used to be.
No.
It's going to come out, what, Siberia?
Oh, the North Pole, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very erratic. Yeah, it's, who knows?
But so, it's not where it's been and that we know about where it's been. It's going to be opposite of where it is now. So when it does that, yeah, your sun is going to come up in the west, and it'll be setting in the east.
Sure. Yeah, and we've had pole flips before. It wasn't always this case on Earth.
Oh, no.
It wasn't. And just like, for instance, the... You know, we've gone through these glaciations where the Earth was essentially an ice planet. We've gone through warm periods where at the poles they had gigantic palm trees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, this.
Well, that would be the other problem too, David. I mean, all these people that rush to the South and the deep South and everything in South America to stay warm for the winter, they're going to be having the snow when the North is going to be nice and warm.
It could absolutely happen.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be opposite.
Yeah. We may or may not see that one, but it will happen. Mm-hmm. And on and on and on we go. We've done almost all these topics in detail.
Only because we know that it's happened before, like you said, with palm trees and places now that are just covered in just miles of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And so there used to be palm trees there. So,
and you know,
that had to be before, you know, our poles switched again, and then all of a sudden they got iced over. You know, what can I tell
they
you?
They can tell by the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
The way they magnetized, when, the and how many times the poles have flipped.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really amazing because, again, for whatever reason, we get into this thing where this is how reality is temporarily. Even here on Earth, in the three dimensions, it hasn't always been like this at all. There is it was that, for instance, you know, as recently as just thousands of years ago, where the pyramids on Giza was a very lush savanna, and the water was right there. They had water all over the place. Now it's a desert.
Talk about palm trees.
You know, and there's
and we were under ice. Where we live now was under a glacier.
Yeah, 1 mile thick ice is where we were.
Yeah.
Just
so,
you know,
yeah,
10,000
years.
Yeah, that's not that long ago. When you think about the time on Earth.
Yeah, I know it.
I mean, Earth is at least 4.5 billion years old. Even if you go 12,000 years ago, this was where we are broadcasting from, was under a mile of ice.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But we just go on like, oh, yeah, this is the way it is. It's the way it's always going to be. No, it's very, very temporary, especially in the grand scheme of things. Then you get into, I was just thinking, like, really, when you start to focus on these things, we just call it, you know, weird, how weird and wonderful world we got here. What is any of this? We know we've got the Bermuda Triangle. There's the Devil's Triangle. There are absolutely, unequivocally anomalies where instrumentation goes off the charts. They don't even work, in fact. They just start spinning. I mean, what's really weird is I don't even know how those dials can spin like they do. You think it could go, you know, like a speedometer goes from like 0 to, say, 120 or something like that.
Yeah.
But just think about spinning in circles. That's what actually happens to their altimeter, for instance, on a plane when they go through the Bermuda Triangle. It's still unknown. I mean, I definitely believe that there are portals all over this planet. It's really undeniable. It's just that they're not open all the time and people aren't always going through them or witnessing them. But at any given time, somebody is. Just like at any given time, where we were talking about the other, last week or so, about UFOs. Go to these UFO websites. They're not going to tell you about it on the evening news. However, every single day, there are sightings reported, let alone having sightings. Sightings, people that go out of their way to report to websites.
Yep.
You know, these things are happening all the time. I have personally seen at least 2 UFOs go through portals. Stop in, I'm telling you, I've seen these vehicles stop in midair. They stop and like tilt up in front of them. All I could think of is it's as though they create, maybe it's a wormhole, maybe it's not. But what I saw was twice happen, something in the sky going along, stop, literally stop in midair, tilt up a little bit. In the front of them, all I could say was it was like a ball of plasma that I'm assuming the ship created. If the ship proceeds, goes through it, and then the plasma, whatever, wormhole thing, simply vanishes. And it's as though nothing was there at all. I cannot believe this, and I've seen it 2 different times. And it's absolutely undeniable. These were with my eyeballs. I saw this. What was it? I don't believe it's anything we have. I don't think humans have the technology to do this. Now, they'll go on and on about the government and what it knows. Who knows? But it just goes to show you, you know, the time-space continuum. There are vehicles here. These UFOs. You know, we talk about UFOs and aliens. Are they aliens? I know, Judith, you posited years ago that a lot of these beings, if not all of them, are actually just from Earth. They probably are future. And they can come back here. Time
travel.
I think they come back here
to warn us, like with the crop circles. We know that when a disastrous event has happened, when you look back at the crop circles, they were warned to us months before anything even happened, and it looks exactly like what happened.
Right.
And then you have, I think what they do is when you see these UFOs, I think they're checking up to see, you know, what, as dumb idiots, we're doing with the world now. And then it's like warnings, you know. And I think that's basically one of the reasons why they come. It's not that they necessarily come from some planet thousands and thousands of miles away from us, but that they're just our future. And they're saying, look what we did to ourselves. How about, you know, watching what you're doing with the Earth now.
Right. And
I know I had looked up this thing, and it was according to, because it kind of fits in with this one, according to many surveys and reports, on an average of 70,000 UFO sightings are reported yearly worldwide. Per day, average counts up to 92 of these sightings a day. People in the United States report 25,000 sightings very often in a month.
Wow.
Almost 300 times greater than the global median does.
Huh.
Most likely places for UFO sightings in the United States are in the West, and in the Northwest particularly.
Hmm.
So, I mean, and you can just go on to as to how many of these people, percentage-wise. It says 48% of Americans think UFOs are genuine, and 29% think that they have reached outsiders. American men, 65% of those, were significantly more likely than women, who were at 46%, to believe in extraterrestrial life. Those over 65 were less likely to believe than those who are younger. People ages 30 to 44 are the most likely to believe, at about 60%.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, even though it's not on the news, people are still seeing these things, and in seeing them probably get, you know, interested enough to actually go on a computer. And the computer, no matter, you know, what, is just full of information about UFOs. And they update it constantly. I mean, you can go to, what is it, MUFON? And it's just constantly being updated as to how many sightings are being seen. You'd be shocked at how many sightings have happened. And people still don't want to report cattle mutilations and other animals that are mutilated. But that's still going on.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's like wake up and smell a coffee, just because they're not saying anything. Most of these researchers believe full-heartedly that the government, say like the United States government, know exactly what's going on with UFOs, and they're just not telling the American or world's people. They're just keeping it to themselves, but they've known for a long time what's going on,
right,
and what these UFOs are about.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're about. And I mean, when you can have UFOs come in,
right,
and you can, and they can go to an area where we have these big, gigantic guided missiles, and they can disarm them, and leave. It's like they're saying, hey, you dummies, you can't use these things. This is what we did to ourselves. Stop doing it. And so they disarm nuclear missiles.
Correct.
I mean, that was awesome when they went and they had all these top officers that actually admitted to the fact that, yeah, this really happened. When they went to try to see if they were still armed, they'd been disarmed. And that only thing that was there was a UFO. So, I mean, you get into this stuff and you read on it and you begin to understand. I mean, I was in one area today and it just was so interesting. I was telling you, they've got all these people out there who have been literally getting alien insurance. But I mean, you get both sides of the coin when you get into this kind of stuff, because you're going to get people who's going to take advantage of other people. And so they're out there selling what they call insurance to people who are afraid of aliens. And as you see, 60% of our young men believe that they exist.
Yes.
So, I mean, if they start an insurance, well, how many of those guys are going to pick up insurance? And it's been thousands. It's been thousands of people who are getting insured against alien abductions and alien pregnancies and rapes and death caused by aliens. And it's like, why don't they talk about the cost, like I said, of farmers for the mutilation of their animals? I mean, I think the government tried, at least they used to try to pay the farmers back for the loss of their animals. I don't even think they care anymore. I don't think they do anything for these farmers.
Not that I know of.
No. So they're out, and they've been getting shafted right along because, they just don't care. It's like, yeah, we know about it, but now you're screwed. So you don't have any, your livestock is going down, and for most of these ranches that are affected by these slaughterings of their animal, that goes on for years. They don't just lose one animal.
No.
Over the years, they lose a ton of animals.
No, and in fact, what is also scary is the fact that it goes on unabated. It goes on today, probably somewhere in the world. There have been cattle. It's not just cattle either, by the way. I mean, there is some talk of going all the way up to humans. But.
Remember the cats?
Oh, yeah.
There's
cat mutilation going on, especially in the U.S. And what you find is a beheaded cat with no blood, at the scene of the crime, as it were. I mean, it's really baffling. And most of these cats, by the way, it's as though they're caught exactly in two.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Yep. But these things are found all over the world.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating. Well, there's one good thing I have to say. The U.S. is actually fairly good until, the big boys get in charge, but fairly good about getting esoteric information out there, call it what you will, but things that nobody else will talk about. But I don't know. It's just is endless, really. But, they'll just try to pretend nothing's going on.
Yeah, well.
And like I said, these poor ranchers, they lose a lot.
Well, you figure one steer alone is worth over $1,000.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
And then you've got dairy, like say it's a beef heifer.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've not only lost that heifer, but you've lost everything that she could have produced in her lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're losing thousands of dollars when each and every animal is mutilated like that. And, I mean, they're just mutilated. And it can be horses, it can be cattle, and sometimes it's wildlife. they find it with deer and different wildlife too. Mm-hmm. Just come across them.
Right. Because it's such a small percentage of all beings out there, whether it's an animal, a human, whatever, you know, they could get away with it, basically ignoring it, because we're a world of, you know, 7 billion people, let alone how many cats and how many cattle and horses and all these other things. Because it's not just cows. Cows seem to be a big thing, but it's all sorts of animals that have been fiddled with and mutilated bloodlessly. And by the way, folks, that, this has been going on for decades and decades and decades before we even had lasers. You know, they didn't know how these things were being made. Yeah. I mean, again, it's just part of it. And what I can't stand is why, you know, when everybody knows it's true, you just get, you know, they get bogged down in this other stuff to be, we'll call it politically correct now that it's political. But I think, you know, it always gets back to the people in control don't want anything that upsets the apple cart. And so, therefore, apparently it frightens them that people can look outside of themselves and say, oh, you know, I guess they're afraid or jealous, thinking that people would, you know, if the UFOs started showing up here, that we would think that, you know, they were more powerful. But, you know, right now the U.S. military is still the most powerful organization on the planet. But to me, you know, it's just like what, with your personal experiences, it's just not what it should be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know, there's a part of this that I was looking at, and did you know that firefighters, at least in the United States, some firefighters in the United States are prepared on the most proficient method to treat outsiders. If there should be an occurrence of a UFO, an incident, or intrusion.
Correct.
And it's taking the possibility of alien attack very seriously. And it's on Chapter 13 of FEMA's it's called Fire Officer's Guide to Disaster Control. That's the title of it. An Enemy Attack and UFO Potential. And it says on there, and it, you know, what it does is it outlines what the first responders may encounter in the event Earth's first contact of unfriendly kind like UFOs. I mean, this is part of what they train for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, they wouldn't be doing that if they didn't think they existed. They got to be existing if they think they got to do this kind of training. But
nope.
They're training firefighters to do that.
Right.
You know.
And what exactly are they supposed to do?
Well, it didn't go into that. They just said that. As a matter of fact, they didn't go into it. And I don't know why they didn't go into it. But they ended it at that they are being definitely trained to deal with UFOs. I mean, let's face it. If they came down, landed, and everybody got, you can't tell me that they're not going to have such weaponry if they wanted to pick us up and take us, you know, wherever. Maybe, you know, maybe they want slaves or workers, or maybe they're just going to take you up there and do whatever. But otherwise, maybe they're perfectly okay, and you know, I mean, what are they going to do? Are they just going to sit there and wait till I get out to see if they got any weapons and they're going to do anything, or are they going to, you know, try to protect themselves? Or if they crash, then they have to step in and try to help them. I would imagine that would be part of it, being that it is a life, whether it's human or not.
Right.
It is still a life, and so they would have to try to help protect it. But, as I'm reading this stuff, it's like, well, this just proves to you that the government believes they're real.
Correct. Yeah. See, this is the thing. This is one of the core problems, is that the government we have, or whatever this thing is, doesn't represent the people, certainly doesn't have the best the people's best interests at heart, and we're lied to incessantly. It doesn't mean that at times that they don't tell the truth. I'm sure that they do. But no matter who is in the government or any of these big corporations or whatever, it's always the same story. They just try to control us, and certainly nothing unusual happens. They never admit to anything that, like what we talk about all the time. They act like none of this is real. Mm-hmm. Why do they do this? Why is UFO disclosure so difficult? I used to be obsessed about it. Now I don't care because I've just seen so many UFOs, and I've been whatever in, I don't want to say contact with, it's one way of putting it, with beings that are not humans, meaning Homo sapiens or whatever. They're certainly intelligent. I don't know what they're doing here. I think they're beyond the government, though. The government definitely knows about a lot of the stuff, but they don't know everything. There are certainly beings here on Earth that don't bother with the U.S. government or the Russian government or the French government or whichever government. What would they care? You know, these people, these beings are way beyond it. It's like they were just talking about, speaking of weird, you know, how birds, especially crows and ravens, blue jays, they're all in the same family, are extremely intelligent. And that they can use tools and think ahead. Like they'll get a tool, set it aside for later use after they've gotten other things they worked on. And these animals are so intelligent. And, you know, that it was just yet another example of we've been told the animals are dumb or this, that, or the other thing. Just because we don't speak their language or they don't speak ours and we can't understand them doesn't mean that they're stupid. You know, dumb animals. The big thing with religion, do animals have a soul? Of course they have a soul. They're alive. They're created by God. Where do you think they came from? Some sort of cutout cartoon magazine and they put water on them and it comes to life? Wake up. Yeah. This is all part of the whole thing. And animals are highly intelligent. I mean, we know so little about reality. We know so little about our own world, our own species, let alone other species. I don't know. The whole thing is just bizarre to me, what we're even doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with these, like I always try not to do it because I'm a human too, but I'm like, these people on this planet are nuts. And, you know, like I say, part of it is this whole mythology. I think it's just a matter of control, and they want it. There are always people at the top of whatever, you know, at the world level, what we call the elites. Call them the Illuminati, call them Bilderbergers, call them whatever you want. But there are a group of people worldwide, and it's, you know, just a few compared to 7 billion. It's only, you know, a few thousand people pretty much control the entire planet. And believe me, they're more friendly with each other than they are with us. Any of these world leaders, they don't care about us. They have more in common with the other world leaders. And they're all on the same page, for God's sake. And just because one might be out of power, are they ever out of power? Not when you see who goes to all these functions, whether it's Bohemian Grove or the Bilderberger Society or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, it's all such a farce, all played out for whatever, what reason? Why are we putting up with all this stuff? It's just like, you know, nowadays, I have to say, compared to what we were growing up, Judy, you know, hoping against hope, they'd have some show like, what was that show? Gavin McLeod was the lead actor in it. And it was sort of paranormal. It was like an early version of X-Files, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with, like, the paranormal. Loved it so much. And, you know, a few things did leak out through those sorts of means, and they continue to. But why do we bother? I mean, nowadays there are so many networks. There is even paranormal networks. Lots of amazing stuff out there. They sort of get bogged down with ghosts and incarnated, disincarnated spirits and stuff like that. That's part of reality, too. It's kind of like a low-level part. But, you know, when you've got physicists, some of the things I've seen, you won't see it in the media that they believe in. Just like when we used to bring you shows about string theory.
Mm-hmm.
multi dimensions up to a minimum of 11. If it's not, is it 13? But I think it's a minimum 11 dimensions have to exist for any of this to work at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now they know that through all their, you know, mathematical gyrations that they do and whatever to explain what actually goes on in this reality. What was I reading? Oh shoot, I think it is. We're just talking about our senses, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
We only pick up 15% of what science can prove is actually there. Because you know, other animals, you know how dogs can hear in other ranges that we can't hear? Just because we can't hear it doesn't mean that that sound isn't there or isn't being made. There are sounds all the time going on right now that we can't hear.
We can't even possibly hear.
Where are they there? Same visually. There are things around us at different vibrations, whether it's this dimension or another dimension, all around us that we don't see it, don't hear it.
Well, we would be totally in shock if you could get all of the other, you know, dimensions around us. They can be tiny dimensions. They could be gigantic ones. Mm-hmm. But they can be dimensions that you actually walk into by going from one room to another. And then you get into that room and everything is, like, slightly different. And you can't figure out, and then you step back into the other room and everything's all right again. You know, and those dimensions move constantly.
Yes,
so,
they do. They do.
If you could get everything to slow down or to speed up to whatever dimension we happen to be in, according to string theory, you could see them all.
Especially, apparently, I mean, there are people that believe, and these are physicists.
Mm-hmm.
That believe that even though, like, at every fraction of an instant, a whole parallel universe is being created, you know, that I don't know. But like I say, I used to listen to more, you know, paranormal podcasts that I almost don't listen to anything anymore just because, you know, we've just done so much and I've already, even if new information comes out, I already, you know, been there, done that. I know all this stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff has happened to me. And I remember I used to listen to, you know, Whitley Strieber, who had, I don't even know if he does it anymore, probably, Unknown Country. A lot of information there. He does a podcast, and William Henry used to be part of that. Then some other fella took his place and gives some weird and wonderful stuff every week. But anyhow, so many of the things that William Henry would talk about, I'm like, okay, I've experienced that. And there have been at least three times in my life, and this is getting into your point, Judith, about which reality are we in. It's been continuous for me, but I think it's entirely possible that I have left my original timeline at least three times. And one was, just like what he described, I was in what should have been a car accident that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay? Stuck. You know, I'm rounded the bend. Car stopped. Why? Because people were painfully slowly just in the crosswalk, not moving. So, and rather than hit them, people stopped. Look in my rearview mirror, because I have been rear-ended before. I'm always looking in my rearview mirror. Love to leave space in front of me if I have to take an evasive action.
Mm-hmm.
Woman on phone looking the other way in a giant SUV. Gonna take me off the planet. All right? And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is it. I can't believe this is going to happen. Because I had no way out. What I decided to do was, rather than get squished, was to floor it, you know, crank my steering wheel into the oncoming lane, which was blocked because these people going one, you know, inching across the street in the crosswalk had it blocked. And then just like floor it and then immediately slam on my brakes, hoping to miss all this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in a car accident, by the way, yourself, Judy?
Just a very slight one. Somebody drove into the side of me.
Okay, so you would probably still experience it. I've actually been in two major car accidents in my life.
Mm.
The sound.
Oh, yeah.
Is deafening.
I've heard sounds.
Because yeah. I've had, you know, every window in my car blow out or into me. And thank God of modern technology, because the windshield and all the windows did break up into little pellets. Otherwise, I would have been shredded, absolutely shredded. Mm. I was covered with broken glass. The sound was absolutely deafening. I heard the sound. I felt the impact. as I floored it and then slammed on the brake, going into the other lane. Figured everybody was staring at me because, like, what's this psychopath doing? Then everybody just drove away. I drove onto, you know where it is, it's not far from where you live, onto Dixon Street, just thinking, okay, everybody, so we'll just all stop, get out our insurance cars, call the police. Nobody stopped. Got out of my car and looked at the back of my, there's nothing happened to my car. Nothing happened at all.
Wow.
Okay, something happened. I'm probably dead in that dimension. I mean, honestly, I was so blown away because something happened. Well, William Henry, when he was in England on whatever their motorway is always called, M something, let's call it M, like M50 or M55, I can't remember what it was. And he said, you know, again, he was going to be in a car accident. It was packed and there was no way out. Experienced like part of the impact only to find nothing happened at all. And then
yeah.
Traffic is moving again and he seems to be in his car and seems to be in the same reality. But maybe slightly different. I don't know. I honestly, I'm saying this with all sincerity. I think in some parallel universe, I died. I got killed in a car accident. I am here
don't
now.
Don't you think maybe that when we, you know, when we're running around and then all of a sudden we start developing these phobias?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
Like, my daughter has this horrible phobia of abdomens. You know, like,
really?
She doesn't want, yeah. And she says, you know, one of her horses got impaled one time.
Oh, God.
And the horse, of course, had to be put down because it was just hemorrhaging to death because it had impaled itself. And it got it in the gut. It took her forever to get over that because that's one of her biggest phobias, is something being injured in the abdomen. She says, I really think in another life or something, I'm thinking another dimension, she had something happen to her. Maybe somebody stabbed her in the abdomen or something.
Right.
Because that's the way she is. I mean, she just can't deal with anything pertaining to somebody being harmed, you know, around the abdomen area or even surgeries and stuff like that. She's just not like that. And so you get these different people who have these different phobias.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe in another dimension, something actually happened to him.
Well,
you know,
but what is really the difference with any of this stuff, whether it's a dimensional thing or what we call another lifetime?
Mm-hmm. I think it's the same.
I do. I think it's the same thing. I really do.
I think
now,
basically, you know, what we do is we go through different lifetimes. We go up the ladder to these different dimensions, and those are our lifetimes. And when you finally get to the top one, you graduate and you're in heaven.
Yeah, I've had more than one experience. Where are you there?
Yeah.
Sound like you cut out on me. One was a waking experience. One was a dream. And both of them were similar in that I was in, actually, it's myself. That's what's weird about it. My soul, I don't know, something that I could perceive that I normally don't perceive. I know it was me, and what I experienced was I still thought I was me, because, you know, when you listen to these people with near-death experiences, they feel like they're in a body. They think they have arms. They think they're seeing out of eyes. I guess they're spiritual eyes. I don't know, because you can see in 360 in those other dimensions. Okay, this is the thing. So to me, it was my same consciousness, whatever. And I saw all these little, what you could call avatars. And they were sort of like almost like in a soap bubble. They were in bubbles. And so I'm in this space that's kind of, I don't call it dark, because I don't want to make it sound negative, because it wasn't. But it was like I was within my own soul, and all I could see were all of these little people, like a little avatar, a little being, in these bubbles floating by. And at the same time, I could hear like what I call the over voice simply telling me, those are you. They're all you. And so what I did was, like, I grabbed one, and I immediately, Judith, went into that life. In that little bubble in what looked like a person, was a whole world. Okay?
Yeah, well,
it's a whole world.
That's what a dimension would be like if it's small enough.
Yeah, there you go. So at some level, there's some, like a check station, a switch station, you know, like at a train where you switch different railroad tracks or whatever, or you're at a depot and you can take train A, B, or C,
yeah,
you know, whatever you want to call it. It's like that. So there's every so often you check into that station, and now you have the choice. Which one are you going to go into? And for whatever reason, I'm in this one now. That's why I have this. I've always had this horrible fear. Speaking of fears, because I believe this is what actually is truth. For whatever reason, we have, and it's lots. We every single one of us, I believe, has tons of lifetimes. But I think we keep repeating them. You know, I'll never be you. You'll never be me. Sometimes we're in the same dimension. Sometimes we know each other. Sometimes I'm on another planet. We're different dimensions. We're different beings. I don't know. We could probably be a dog, a cat. I don't know. All sorts of things. Anything is possible. Yet, I believe that we keep repeating them because I know I've had way too many deja vus. Then could it be that you get I know for a fact, because I can remember, before I was born, being with my light being. I call it my guardian angel because that's who I believe it is. She's always to my back left. And we went over, I can remember, he told me about my life. Now, how can you tell me about my life if it hasn't happened yet?
Mm.
It has happened. My entire life has happened. Your entire life has happened. All of your lives have happened.
Well, that's why you experienced the deja vu, because it did happen to you before.
Exactly.
And we just blow it off like, oh, it's just, you know, that deja vu stuff.
Exactly.
And it's like your deja vu is just your insight and your memory cells letting you remember what you actually did go through before, whether it's in this dimension or another dimension. But, yeah, you've been through it.
Yep. And, I mean, you talk to people, we have that word for a reason, because people experienced it and they had to give it a name, and it's, you know, deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. Virtually everybody's had it. But my thing is, I honestly think we live them over and over and over. And I think until we get it right, maybe, I think there is some within reason. You know, I could have moved to a different country or state. I could have taken a different job. I could have gotten married. I could have had kids or not have kids. All sorts of things. Because I know in other lifetimes I have had kids. I know I've been married. I know all of those things. And it's not just because you might have had a relationship. No. I mean, I knew before I was old enough to be in a relationship about having kids. I knew because I'm the type of person, for whatever reason, I didn't psychics have told me, I didn't forget. Like most people seem to just go blank.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered Spriggs because I was born into a Catholic family. I was talking about reincarnation right off the bat. Why? Because I remembered past lives. I started talking about them. I knew what they were. I already knew about aliens. I knew about UFOs. I mean, I was born in the 50s. It really wasn't talked about then. I mean, I was born in the 50s. I grew up, you know, consciously more in the 60s and 70s because I was born at the end of the 50s, but it doesn't matter. It was like hush-hush back then. I used to talk about it openly because I knew it. I experienced it. Even when I didn't even remember, you know, didn't have the physical experiences in this life that I ended up having, unfortunately. Some were fortunate. Some were not fortunate. Some were positive. Some were negative. But I already knew all about, you know, I knew that it wasn't even a question to me. Same with angels, demons, Jesus, the Blessed Mother. I knew that was all real. This whole thing that we go through, you know, people like to put things in boxes. But the thing is, it's all real. You know, there are dimensions. I think there are celestial dimensions, and the highest one we simply call heaven. But what is that? Look at the Bible. It's full of weird stuff.
Mm.
You have Cyclops. That's Cyclops. Was that in the Bible or was that just in the Greek mythology. Anyway, you did have giants, which, of course, now people hush-hush about giants. We know giants existed, and apparently until pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just Goliath.
No. There are mounds all over the United States alone, and England and other places. They
They're
have these giant
the
mounds. And if you open them up, as they started to, they found giant skeletons in there. I mean, huge skeletons. And the Native Americans here knew what went on because they worshipped these people. They thought they were gods.
Right.
And so they didn't let anybody touch those mounds. They were sacred land. And then, of course, you get people who's going to go dig them up and see what's in there. And when they did. They found these gigantic skeletons. And, well, the Smithsonian and a couple of other places actually had the skeletons. And then all of a sudden, no, we don't have them anymore.
Smithsonian and the New York Times.
Yeah, New York Times. Yeah.
Right in their journals. You know, pictures with real archaeologists from real universities. We're talking Yale University, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But that was back in the 1800s. And then for some reason, they all got together. Hush, hush, can't let the sheeple know about those. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Right in the Bible, there were giants in them those days, or however
it's
it was
very
called.
Aggravating because
giants
what they treat
through.
Us like is as if we're ignorant children and we don't need to know. And so they're just not going to bring it up. They're not going to tell us when, you know, we're quite capable of dealing with the truth.
Right. We live it anyway. But
yeah.
There were giants. Those are beings that actually were here in the third dimension with us. Okay, then there were titans. The titans came from where? Not Kalamazoo. They came from the sky. They did what?
Yeah.
They mated with the female humans.
Mm-hmm.
It says so. And that created the titans and they made
Nephilim.
Nephilim, right?
Yep.
There it is. It's right there in the Bible. These are not made-up stories. Angels came, Archangel Gabriel came to announce to Mary. Ezekiel saw the wheel. Beings got out of this fiery chariot and told him how to make different things.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? That wasn't Joe Blow from, you know.
Well, let's face it. They brought mankind themselves from a very primitive type people to people who were doing some pretty fantastic things and creating some pretty fantastic things. We got modernized, we got civilized, we got all kinds of things. All of a sudden, bam, oops, there you are, you're all set. And then I think they took off and said, well, let's see how well they do or how long they can hold out before they screw it all up.
Absolutely. There has been. And again, I don't really flip out about it because it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change who you are. Because ultimately, my DNA, it's only part of me now. Has it been fiddled with? I think so. I mean, the fact that when I went to the only time I've ever gone through the airport and they made me go through the metal detector thing, or not the metal detector thing. That x-ray machine where you stick your hands up and you stand there like an idiot. There's some Italian words I could use for it. It's so stupid. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that became a big fal-de-rol because there was something wrong with me. And they were telling me I wasn't standing. I used to be a top athlete in spite of everything that's happened to me now. Back in the day, I know when I'm standing still. I could do yoga like it was nobody's business. I could stand on one foot, you know, for half an hour. You know, these people are wobbling after 3 seconds. No.
Mm-hmm.
I have good balance. I know when I'm steady. Because I wasn't coming out clear on their stupid x-ray machine. Then they made me do it again. And I'm like, I know this thing, because it's like almost like a revolving door that goes around you.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew I was done. They still wouldn't let me out. Eventually they let me out, saying that I had this metal in the middle of my back. Okay, I've never had an operation on my back.
Yeah.
So
what was it?
What is that? And all he ended up doing was going up and down my back and just then let me go because he couldn't. Obviously, it was nothing outside of me. I didn't have a secret weapon or something like that, or a knife or something. And he just, I could tell he's so pissed and frustrated with me. Like, don't know what to tell you. I've never had metal in my back. I've never had an operation. There's nothing in my back. Mm-hmm. And he shows, and he turns and he shows me right there. And he shows me this big square that it's highlighting right in the center of my back, Judith, right mm-hmm. in my backbone. And I'm like, just, I got to go. You know, there would have been a time in my life I'd run to the doctor to have it, some sort of x-ray or CAT scan or MRI or something. I don't
even have an MRI if you got metal in you.
Yeah, an MRI. I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to know. Don't care. I know the aliens have fiddled with me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so what? And they, and whoever they are, where do you think we went from horse and buggy to flying to the moon in
yeah.
a few generations? Come on.
Within 100 years, not even, because a friend of mine, I mean, she passed away in her 90s. But
yeah, my grandmother.
She was a person who went to the West. She went to my state out there, Idaho. She went across country in a covered wagon, and she said, where else can you go to the West in a covered wagon and fly back to the East in a jet? And that's how fast things seem to go.
I know. My great-grandmother.
And so when you think of how fast everything changed compared to how many, maybe thousands of years, the people were kind of just like hunter-gatherers.
No kidding. They lived a subsistence life. And when my great-grandmother was born in 1883 in Connecticut, she died in 1979. She made it almost to 90, just a shade below 96, okay? She was born before electricity. I guess it was weird early forms of cars, but not really. 1883, essentially zero cars in any real way. Certainly no roads, just pathway, nothing cover, nothing asphalt. I mean, it was just extremely primitive. No phones, no TVs, and no cars. I mean, life was primitive.
Yeah.
She died in 1979. She flew in planes. She, you know, all the above. And her favorite thing was a washing machine, by the way. Because
mm-hmm.
we were like, because she had all those old gadgets. And when we'd go visit, we loved that scrub board thing. She goes, oh, let me tell you, I love modernity. Okay.
Yeah, well.
How did we go from nothing, from a scrub board, to having electronics with a little chip, having more information than the Encyclopedia Britannica in it.
Yeah.
And then we could read that? Come on. Come on. That was given to us. We didn't come up with that. All those thousands and thousands of years, not one person could ever come up with it. Suddenly we're doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
New. And... you know, like I say, we have this idea about the idea that's completely wrong is that there's a 3D reality and that's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
That we have a discrete life and that's all there is. That we're not connected to each other. Nothing is, everything's separate. Nothing's connected to anything. Everything's connected. Everything that really actually even happens is connected. Nothing happens by mistake. All the dimensions are interconnected. That's why a lot of times when we have the power, like with why UFOs shut down our, you know, Minuteman missiles, because we were about to blow up things and it would literally ruin the time-space continuum. We were blocked. One way, you want to get the divine in here, declare World War III and start blowing everybody up. I guarantee you it's not going to happen. We are not allowed to ruin it all. Within reason, we can. But as far as what we can do now, I really think it would be a good way to get Jesus back here. Kind of, you know, pushing it, but hey.
Well,
it's one way to get him back.
Yeah.
Do something. We totally missed the gate here. Humans got off the rails. We're nuts. And all I can say is, let's just get back to reality. You know, like, for instance, prayer works. How can prayer possibly work? They've even proved thought is faster than the speed of light.
But you know what? I believe with a prayer, is when you're sick, I think your vibrational rhythm, I mean, if we go back to string theory, but I think your entire vibrational rhythm is all screwed up.
Right.
And I think in praying, it actually, remember the vibe?
Yep.
It actually brings your vibrational rhythm back to normal.
Now,
so you actually do feel better after you pray.
Yes, that was the whole theory behind the Vibe Machine, this guy from Colorado.
I'd love to have one.
What was his name? Vavalsky, some Russian years ago came up with this sort of stuff. He just used a combination of Tesla coil, I think it was called, and that the Russian scientist, and his theories, put them together and out came the Vibe Machine.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying desperately.
Worked.
Yes, it worked. And mm-hmm. he was trying desperately to get the FDA approval. And they were in studies. They shut him down.
Well, you know why they shut him down? Because your pharmaceutical companies don't want anybody cured.
Right. So one of our friends, Sean English, who was a therapist, got one of these Vibe machines.
Yeah.
And she was just letting us sit in front of people. We were bringing their pets. Their pets were getting better. And then she had to give hers back. She was contacted by that guy in Colorado that she bought it from, and everybody who had them had to give them back. I think Carrie had one for a short time, and I remember the big panic because the FDA, the government, blah 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 blah, and they had to box it all up and ship it back. They got their money back though, but
isn't right because you should be able to buy what you want to buy.
No kidding.
You know, but you know what the fear was of that. Look how fast it got around for the people who sat in front of that for just a few minutes and started to, I mean, I took Ray there. Okay, Ray had damaged his back. He couldn't stand up straight. He was in agony. They were giving him pain medications. Nothing was helping the guy. And finally, Sean had said, why don't you bring him over, let him sit in front of the Vibe. So I picked him up and took him over there.
I remember that.
He was sitting there. We had all we could do. Sean came out to help because we had all we could do to get him out of the car. And he finally got in. He sat down in there. And all of a sudden, she came in and she goes, okay, you guys, your time is up. And he stood up. And I said, oh, my God, you're standing up straight. He goes, I can't believe it. My pain is gone.
Wow.
And I said, well, there you go. I mean, there's nothing that the pharmaceutical companies are going to want you to have. I mean, when it comes down to that, or even the medical, you know, I mean, even medical, they're going to want you to, you got to keep coming in being, because they're not going to make their money.
Absolutely.
So keep your rhythm all off key and get you all screwed up, and then you'll still be taking your pills. And you'll still be, I mean, they could cure cancer. We know that.
Yes.
They have cures for cancer.
Oh, yes.
And they cure cancer because pharmaceutical companies make billions and billions of dollars every year off the backs of people with cancer.
Yeah. I'm not saying that every single cancer, like, I think if you got undiagnosed cancer and you were really far gone, you know, we're all going to die. But as far as a lot of them, especially fairly early onset. Absolutely, Judith. There have been so many people that have come up with things, and it's been by including people, not just like an inventor on the side, like this guy from, you know, or, you know, Royal Rife. He made a machine, the Rife machine was very similar to the Vibe, same sort of idea. There have been many other people. They've been destroyed, and, you know, but there have been regular doctors through their research have figured out ways of really beating some of the cancers, and no, not allowed.
I know. Well, we're at the end of another week and can hope that everybody does well. We won't have Gary with us on the beginning of the month anyway, because Gary's on vacation in August. So, but you know, when that time comes, we'll just have another interesting little chat. Anybody can call in, and we'll see what we come up with.
Right on. Thanks, Judy.
All right. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Unknown Zone on WBL. I mean, the old way. of BLQ is on Blog Talk Radio. Dave Turco for Judy Sellins, The Unknown Zone, the weird and the wonderful. Have a great week.